At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to this edition of the Journal Sentinel Bucks podcast. I'm Matt Velasquez, and I'm joined by Charles Gardner, and we haven't had a podcast in a couple weeks, Charles, but now we're back at it. You know, when we last left the Bucks, they were, you know, about to embark on a win streak, and now that we catch up with them again, they've lost five in a row. But none of that news is really of any importance at this point, considering the Bucks are out of playoff contention. They've finally been mathematically eliminated. The big news today, though, has to do with Giannis.
Yeah, no doubt. Bombshell of sorts delivered by Coach Jason Kidd after practice today. Maybe not so stunning that Giannis will be the point guard going forward, but maybe just the timing of it was a little stunning. Jason saying, hey, look, next year going forward, that we've seen enough. He's done well. He's had four triple doubles. And, you know, he will be our point guard of the future and going into next season. And based on the Twitter reaction that I've seen today, Matt, it's big news. Twitter has gone crazy over this news that Jason is committing to Giannis as the point guard, and the Bucks are committing to him in that role. And certainly you have to say he's done a great job. We know the triple doubles, he's learning on the job. He's learning on the fly, something new for him. Obviously they experimented with it a few times in the past in Vegas when this coaching staff first came on the job. And Kidd mentioned even in the preseason they tried it at one point before this season started, but they decided to go back to it. He said the other day, we pulled it out of the trunk, I think that was his quote, before the All-Star break, because they felt they needed a change. And this time Giannis was ready for the challenge. He embraced it, and he gave the Bucks a reason to keep looking at this and to change their lineup and to go forward with him at the point guard. It certainly settles some issues, kind of gives a little more room for Middleton at shooting guard and Jabari on the front line, and maybe for some of the moves that the Bucks are going to make this summer and heading into next season.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that, you know, you mentioned that the Bucks had tried this before and discussed this before, and I remember after the All-Star break in one of the games I was at, Kidd mentioned, you know, yeah, we tried Giannis doing this before, and at that point he wasn't ready, and now he's proving that he's ready to do this, and he, you know, is able to figure out how to handle the point guard role. And, you know, along with those triple doubles, I mean, a lot of the games that he's been performing the point guard duties, he hasn't been turning the ball over very much, and that's something that you know, kind of goes unmentioned a lot of the time.
Well, and that's obviously a big part of that point guard job too. And he's had some struggles with turnovers this year, both at small forward and when he's been at the point. But as you said, not so much at the point guard spot. And he's done a good job with handling that. We've seen different teams throwing different things at him. Remember Oklahoma City with their wall of defenders that they brought up against him on that Sunday afternoon game.
But well, and then the Hornets, the most recent game, every so often Batum would come up and guard him full court, and it wasn't after every made basket, but it was often enough. And, you know, that sometimes that created a situation where the Bucks couldn't inbound to Giannis. They had to inbound to Middleton and have him bring the ball up, or Bayless bring the ball up. Giannis said after the game that didn't really affect him, it didn't bother him, but you could tell on the court that it definitely threw the Bucks offense out of sync a little bit.
And that was a Steve Clifford wrinkle.
Yeah, and it definitely changed the timing a little bit. So, I mean, as much as Giannis said it didn't bother him, it did have an effect.
Yeah, and they'll see some more of those type of things, and I think that's why it's important to see who will be the backup next year. I talked to Michael Carter Williams for a story that ran in Tuesday's paper, and he said he's been watching everything very closely since having his hip surgery. And he and Giannis are friends, and he started 37 games this year out of 54, but certainly he didn't just grab this point guard job, as now it's moving on to Giannis. So what will the future for Michael Carter Williams be with the Bucks, or will there be one? That's going to be a big question over the summer. And he was very upbeat on Monday, saying, hey, I think I can play with Giannis, we're both out there. But of course, the final decision will be left to Bucks management and the coaching staff of the direction they want to go. The problem with that so far, is just the shooting ability of Michael Carter Williams. I think that has been a problem where he's just struggled to knock down certainly three-point shots. We all know the direction the league has been going with the backcourts. And if you don't have players that can hit some threes, it can put you in a bind. So I think that's one thing the Bucks certainly want to address in the offseason.
Yeah, and it's important to mention MCW's contract. He has a team option for next season, which was already exercised in October.
It's the last year of his rookie scale deal. So
right.
He's under contract to the Bucks for next season.
Yeah, and it's only $3.1 million, which, especially with the salary cap going up, is basically nothing. So it's not the kind of nothing that would mean that they would waive him or anything like that, but it's the kind of contract where, regardless if it's the Bucks or another team, there's going to be interest in him. Because if you're the Bucks and say the Bucks are inclined to trade him, that doesn't mean that they are. There are going to be other teams that say, hey, maybe we'll take a flyer on this guy because, he has such a low contract, it's going to hurt our cap very much. Or, something along those lines. Or the Bucks say, hey, let's see if it pans out. Teams aren't interested because he's coming off a hip surgery and they're not sure what they're going to get out of him. So we'll hold on to him for a little while, see what he can do for this season, and judge him after that.
Yeah, it will be interesting. But this was one of the reasons the Bucks made the trade, the Brandon Knight trade, was they knew that they had Carter Williams at a low salary for 2 years and two and a half, basically, or mm-hmm. two and a third.
At least two full seasons.
Yeah, and so that was part of the gamble that they took on that trade. And also, as has been reported and we've talked about, they were weighing whether to sign Chris Middleton or Brandon to the big deal and opted for Chris Middleton. That was just kind of their thinking on that. And of course, it's interesting that tomorrow will be Brandon Knight, Wednesday, we're talking here, will be Brandon Knight's first appearance in Milwaukee since the trade. So over a year since the trade, and he's played against the Bucks one time in Phoenix this year, but not in Milwaukee until Wednesday night. So it will be interesting. He's coming off a 30-point game in Minnesota. He had tied a career high with 7 threes in the Suns' loss to the Timberwolves. The Suns are struggling, but Knight has been a big part of their team and obviously got the major contract that he was looking for. And, partly he got that contract because of the way he played with the Bucks last season.
Yeah, and getting back to MCW, you wrote in your story and what he told you, and he told you that something that he could do is maybe come off the bench because, it's pretty, obvious that if Giannis is in the starting lineup at the point guard, and Middleton's going to be the shooting guard, doesn't really leave a spot for a non-shooter, high ball usage guy like MCW.
Right. I mean, I think he was being realistic about it. He said, I think he wants to start on an NBA team, but he also saw what happened this year and that he played a role off the bench for stretches, for 17 games. The first time he got benched in November, he played well and got back into the starting lineup. And when I asked Jason Kidd about it yesterday, I talked to him about saying that he had been benched twice, and Kidd said, well, look, the second time was not, in essence, performance-based. The second time was, he said, we had no bench. And we all recall the bench had gotten so thin that he went to Monroe and MCW off the bench. And it did help the Bucks, who were in a bad state at the time, shake out a few wins there. So that was not so much performance-based. The first time, I would say, was. So, yes, it'll be very interesting to see where that goes. And
you have to consider, too, you know, that if MCW is still on the Bucks roster heading into next season, there will be some competition for that backup point guard spot. Tyler Ennis has been playing, you know, pretty well, at least of late, and he shoots better and has kind of looked a lot more confident. And, you know, a lot of players have mentioned that they're confident in him and they like playing with him, you know, especially when he's been getting these minutes as he has recently.
He's taken advantage of the opportunity, I think, no doubt about that. And I wrote the other day about, you know, some of the mistakes. He's learning on the job. You know, in Atlanta the other night, Jason, as soon as he hesitated taking a three, turned into a turnover, kind of a crucial juncture. And, you know, Coach Kidd brought him over to the side and said, look, you know, you got to take that three-point shot. It's wide open. You know, you can't hesitate. And this is the way some of the young players, we know all the young players have been learning on the job this year. But he has shown some good things. And there's also a chance the Bucks would look for a point guard or make a trade, you know. So it'll be interesting to see where that all goes. But I guess what we know from today is the starting point guard is the tallest starting point guard in the NBA, 6'11". Greek Freak, and that qualified as some interesting news today, no doubt about it.
Yeah, so we take Giannis and put him in the starting lineup. You can easily take Middleton and put him in the starting lineup, and you put Jabari Parker in the starting lineup. I think the question a lot of people have now is, who fills in those last two spots? Is, you know, do you think it's anybody who's currently on the Bucks roster, or what do you think they do with that?
Yeah, the center spot you're talking about, and the power forward. Depending where Jabari is, I guess power forward.
Yeah, if Jabari's at a three or a four, yeah. You know, it really, you know, yeah. That's part of the question is how do they best fill that?
Well, I think whoever that is at the three or the four, if that's a stretch four, you know, they're going to, you know, it's kind of funny because they had a stretch four in Ersan. But just saying, they may need something like that again, the way the league is going. You know, look at Draymond Green at Golden State, who can shoot. You know, you need big men shooters as well as guard shooters.
The Bucks just need any shooters.
Any shooters. So there you go. So, I mean, I think they need two more shooters minimum that can come in and really relieve some of the pressure on Chris Middleton. And, you know, Bayless, if he returns, this is the end of his contract. He's done a great job of giving them another three-point threat this year. But they're going to need, whether that's from the draft, more likely, you know, a veteran they're going to go through. And there was some talk about Teletovich at the trade deadline, who's with the Suns. But, you know, maybe they're going to even go bigger than that and look for a real good shooter in free agency or through a trade. Who knows what may come up this summer? There could be a lot of names getting bandied about. We saw how it happened last summer. And now as far as the center spot, obviously Greg Monroe, they made the big move to get Greg. And here toward the end of the season, more emphasis has been on John Henson and Miles Plumlee playing together on the front line and in some of these lineups. Now, I think it doesn't mean that will be the way everything goes next year, but it's something they're looking at, and it also tells something about the development of Plumlee, who was just an afterthought for most of the season. But when he got his chance, when Henson was injured, he really thrived playing with Giannis and Tabari, playing in a more up-tempo game, getting out, dunking on the break, blocking shots. And, you know, I think that opened the eyes of the Bucks and probably some people around the league about him. He's at the end of his rookie deal, so he'll be a restricted free agent. It'll be interesting to see what happens with him. And you have to think the Bucks will have some interest in bringing him back. And remember, he and Ennis were part of that deal for Brandon Knight. You know, they were the two other players acquired from Phoenix in the three-team deal.
Yeah, it's interesting to talk about the centers because obviously Henson just got his extension. And so, you know, that's something that at the start of this year, he was considered as part of their core six, you know, and so was Monroe. And now, you know, not necessarily by any fault of his own, but it's hard to tell if that's still the case with him. You know, Plumlee's really come on. He sets, you know, high screens. He can fly, you know, into the hoop. You know, guys like having that outlet where they can throw passes. Kid was saying, you know, before one of these recent games that, you know, that you can't throw a ball too high for him. And guys like that. And they feel comfortable and confident with that, with a guy playing above the rim. And he, you know, he's not the kind of guy who, you know, needs the ball very often. You know, he doesn't take very much time when he has it in his hands. Just his usage isn't as high. And so he can do different things and fit in the lineups pretty well. And I don't think that'll long term that'll be with two bigs. I just don't see that working, especially in the NBA the way it is now. I think that's just something to try for this year, because especially on defense, that lineup is a mess. When you have Plumlee and Henson and Parker all together, no one really knows who's supposed to go out to guard the shooters, and they're not used to that.
Protection, but
you're not guarding the 3-point line, which yeah,
unless they get put in with Giannis and Chris, that's helped that lineup a little bit.
Yeah,
obviously, you know, John has kind of played well at the power forward, which is intriguing, which he never really got to play before. And he's had a couple. Well, he had one double double in Atlanta, and almost had one the other night, the game you covered, Matt, right? Mm-hmm. The Charlotte game. So
a lot of garbage time points there, though.
But there was one, yeah. In the Atlanta game, it was a closer game, and those were big points. He had 17 and 10, and played very well. So it's hard to tell. Of course, he missed a significant time with the back injury, and 20 games before he came back. But he's trying to finish up strong. So it's interesting. I think that's why you're seeing that lineup. They're trying to gauge what different people can do, so they can make some decisions as they go forward in the summer and have some confidence in the decisions that they're going to make. So,
and part of it too is not just for them to see what these guys can do, but you're putting guys on the floor. So if they end up being possible trade chips, you're showing other teams what they can do.
Oh, no question.
So, you know, it's not just for the Bucks to look at Henson or Monroe or, you know, anybody else. I mean, granted, Plumlee is going to be a restricted free agent, so teams are going to be looking at him anyway. He's not necessarily a trade piece. But, you know, this is a situation where with the playoffs out of the question, you want to see what guys can do. And you want to show other teams the positive things that they can do and give yourself as many opportunities to learn some stuff while also resting your starters and not burning them out, you know, in games that the outcome doesn't have an effect on the standings other than a loss gets you closer to a better draft pick.
Yeah. Well, and you know, one thing I at one point I thought, hey, you know, the way the schedule looked, they could finish fairly strong. But I think what you see is what happens in the NBA so often, that when you're not playing for anything, how do you motivate yourself, or how are these players motivated? And Kid talked about this, saying, hey, the players have to realize they can't coast to the finish, that people are watching, that this could affect their future contracts or their future destinations, you know. He didn't put it that way, but I mean, that's definitely, as you said, Matt, something that's part of the NBA, that players move around. So very interesting to see how these players react in the last eight games. And you know, they've hit kind of a skid here after they were playing fairly well, and now they've lost five in a row. So they have Phoenix or Orlando, the Bulls. The Bulls are really struggling. And those are the three. And Cleveland, four games left at on this homestand. Then it's just a three-game road trip and then one final home game. So it's getting down to the end when you're inside of 10 games. And but I think they do. You don't want to go into the postseason losing all these games. No. You know, then you're 30-52. So I think they want to, you know, make a showing, make a stand, take some positive vibes into the postseason.
Yeah, or,
but not the postseason, the summer.
And the off season. Yeah.
Yeah, no postseason.
Well, it'll be interesting, too, because obviously they play Cleveland and Boston in back-to-back games. They're, you know, they're a couple days apart, but one after the other. Those two teams both will have things to play for still at that point in the season. And then you have
Boston
a couple...
Boston certainly might be in a real race for those third, fourth, fifth spots.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. Same with the season finale against the Pacers. You know, that
yes. they could be looking at who they're going to play then in the playoffs with
right.
that game.
And as poorly as the Bulls have played recently, they're still in the playoff hunt. And so, you know, they're going to need that game on Sunday in order to pull things together. You know, so they're playing teams that have things to play for, but at the same time, you know, you have two games against Orlando, and right now the Bucks are a half game behind the Magic in the standings. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because obviously both those teams are looking for draft picks at this point. So, you know, it's one of those, if you win, you lose, and if you lose, you win.
It's one of those where the fans want their own team to lose, huh?
Yeah, well, you want the team to play really, really well and play with lots of heart and still lose. Because the Bucks, you know, right now they have the ninth worst record in the NBA. They're only a half game ahead or behind of the Knicks, if however you want to say it. You know, the Knicks are 30-45, Bucks are 30-44. So that's another team you could pass on the draft board. And that's something the draft that we'll definitely talk about more in future podcasts towards the end of the season. And maybe we'll do a podcast around the combine or something like that. But we'll definitely talk about it.
We'll be talking about that. And we'll rely on your college expertise, Matt. I'm counting on you there.
I'll try my best. But we'll definitely talk about that later. But now at this point in the year with eight games left, you know, that's really what, you know, part of the focus is, you know, especially for fans and people who are keeping an eye on the team, because that's the next step. That's the first big mile marker when it comes to the offseason, is what happens in the draft, what kind of trades or what kind of picks or whatever happens. You know, how does the lottery shake out? You know, there'll be a lot of eyes on that. And then at the start of July is when, you know, the free agent period and everything happens, and it'll be crazy again.
Yeah, and oh, it will be, and that's going to be a very busy offseason. You made me think of, I also talked to Rashad Vaughn today, talking about the draft, and just, I guess I should bring this up also. And, you know, he went down to Canton and played three games in the D-League.
He played four.
That's right. You picked up that fourth game, and he played one more after I wrote about it, because I knew he was coming back shortly. And he just said today, you know, he was a bit disappointed. He had missed all those threes to begin with, right? I think he was 0 for 11. Then you wrote that he had hit one.
He missed 12 in a row, 11 in the first three games, missed his first in the fourth, and then made one, then missed three more. So
he said he was very frustrated with that. And so I think it was a little bit disappointing. But he also said, hey, overall, he's gained a lot of experience this year. He has played at the NBA level, and I'm sure it was good for him to go down there. And, you know, it's good to remember that he's only 19. But, of course, you see Devin Booker, who's coming in tomorrow as the youngest player in the NBA, and he's just coming off a 30-point game.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Yeah, so... Of course, there are going to be comparisons and things like that. And but I think Rashad, again, when somebody's that young, there's a lot of room for improvement. And I'm sure he's going to, you know, the Bucks are going to work with him very hard this summer and see that. One thing he said to me was he knows he needs to put on weight, get stronger. He has had the opportunity to guard some of the really good players in the league already. And, you know, while they've exposed him, it's also been experience on the court that's valuable. So sometimes you wonder, these guys that come out so early from college, if it is really detrimental, you know, at 19 years old to come out and try to compete. It's very tough. And some guys will react to it okay and get through it. And others, you know, it might send them on the way really not to having success in the NBA. So for the Bucks, they just have to hope that all these experiences help Rashad out and he can eventually be a contributor. I know that some of the coaches, Joe Prunty mentioned earlier in the year that they think he has the ability to defend and he has the size. So we'll see. But one thing Rashad said to me today also was that when he went to Canton, they're a winning team. They have a winning record. Apparently they're going to the playoffs in the D-League. And so again, when you just plop down in the middle of that for three games or four games as it was, that isn't the easiest thing in the world either. But he did get a chance to play, and that was, you know, that's better than him sitting on the bench and playing 5 minutes in Milwaukee.
Right, and some people ask me, you know, why are they sending him down? He needs more time in the NBA. He needs more experience. It's like, listen, he's had 60 games. He's played a lot. But at the same time, the Bucks know he's not going anywhere. You know, he's under contract. He's guaranteed. They've seen what they needed to see. Now he just needs more minutes. There are other guys on the Bucks roster who haven't gotten the minutes who they need to check out, and they need to figure out how they work. And you know, Damian Ingles has already done his time going down to the D League.
Yeah, you know, I think it was a good move, Matt. Don't you?
I agree. I mean, but you know, people wonder, oh, why are they doing this? You know, he needs more. It's like, no, he got it. He got what he needed. You know, now he's going down there.
He got some time, and frankly, he wasn't ready yet.
No.
Yeah,
and that's what the D League is for.
And he may not be ready right away. You know, it may take another summer, may take another year, may take more than that. You know, especially you get these guys coming out after a freshman year, after 1 year in college. There's no guarantees that they're going to have an instant impact or maybe any impact on their NBA team.
Sure, and you look
right away.
You draw the comparison to Devin Booker. It's like, well, Devin Booker was a lottery pick. There's a difference between a lottery pick, you know, a guy going number 11, guy going number 17. You know, I mean, that's just numbers. it's pretty straightforward. You know, you would expect
the
guy.
And I don't think, you know, it doesn't mean that Vaughn can't be a good player in the future.
No, he could be. Sure.
He could be, but we just don't know yet.
No, he's not there yet, and that's a fact. And so, that's where we're at. Hopefully, we can get another podcast in next week.
Yeah, we'll try to get going. You know, I was out with a little surgery, and I appreciate your help on the beat, and they saved me a lot. And now hopefully, I'm back here to finish up the season strong.
Yeah, that'll be great. I know people were thinking about you and worried about you, but it's good that you're back. You hit the ground running and we're able to keep this going.
Yeah, I'm starting to move better.
So there we go. We'll get you off the injured list and get you back to full speed. Speaking of which, well, the only remaining drama for the season, I guess, is figuring out if Grievous Vasquez ever plays.
Well, it's interesting. I asked Jason today about that. I almost forgot, actually.
I asked him every day.
were asking every day.
I'm sure he's sick of it.
Well, I thought that too. And then I did see Grievous come off the court today when I was at practice. And indeed, he did practice, I was told.
Oh, he's been still practicing.
Yeah, and he has been. So, but he hasn't been cleared to play, as I wrote down in Atlanta. He hasn't been cleared for game action, and apparently that's still the case. Now, there's only 8 games left, so I would say it's getting very tight to see whether he's going to play at all this season or not. And we knew when he had the surgery in December that it was going to be a long haul. I mean, I think everybody knew that. And when I interviewed Grievous a couple weeks ago, you know, he said he was 4 weeks ahead, but he also knew he had to be that far ahead just to have a chance to get back on the floor this season. So it's going to be interesting. I asked Coach Kidd today whether he had any inkling if he could get back on the floor, Grievous could get back on the floor before the end of the season. And he said he really didn't know. He said, you know, he's going to wait. He'll hear from the training staff and the medical staff, and then he'll know that he can play in a game. But whether that's going to happen, I don't know. It's getting close. What do we have, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks? So basically about 2 weeks left. If you're talking days, about 14, 15 days left. So I know when I talked to Grievous a few weeks ago, his goal was 10 or 12 games. That's really what he was shooting for. Well, now we're down to 8. So we'll see. And does there come a point where it gets to 4 or something like that, and they just say, well, okay, it's not worth it. We don't want you to get hurt. We're just going to shut it down.
It's interesting because I talked to Grievous after the Memphis game, you know, with security all over the corridors after the John Henson, Matt Barnes situation went down.
Correct, yeah.
It was funny. I you know, security everywhere, and at one point Steve Novak walked by and said, "Oh yeah, Matt Barnes, he went that way." Kind of just joking, you know. That was while we were still trying to figure out exactly what happened. It took a little while. That was fun. You missed that.
I did. But
I talked to Grievous in the hallway, and he said that he was hoping to be cleared in the next few games. I mean, he was hoping to be back possibly for the road trip that just happened. Right. And he said he was feeling good. There's been no issues, no setbacks. Felt like he was ready to go.
Of course, it may be one thing what the player thinks and another thing what the training staff thinks. And their word rules. I mean, that's what happens. So
yeah, it's true. And so he thought he was ready. He wants to get back. And, you know, also need to point out that he's going to be a free agent. So obviously he wants to get back, prove that he can play, show whoever his possible next team could be, hey, I'm healthy, here's what I can do, whatever, you know. And the Bucks, you know, based on the season and the amount of money that he would command, I don't think would be inclined to re-sign him.
I don't see any way.
No, neither do I. So, you know, I'm not saying that they're, you know, creating a situation where they're not going to clear him because they don't want to play him. I don't think it's that big of an issue. But, you know, it's not necessarily in their interest if he is cleared to even play him, because they're like, hey, you know. But at the same time, you don't want to be a team where a player says in the future, oh yeah, they cleared me and I could have played, but then they sat me on the bench because they weren't interested in me and they didn't give me an opportunity to show what I had.
I don't think that's it. I think, you know, from the Bucks standpoint, they have to be sure that he's ready. They certainly wouldn't want to risk another injury that would put him in jeopardy going forward. And probably, you know, I'm sure Grievous wouldn't either. So it's just a tight call, I think, based on when he was hurt, the surgery, and the recovery time, which was supposed to be 4 to 6 months. And, you know, that was December. So, and he even said he was 4 weeks ahead. So you have to give him a lot of credit for trying to be back on there and keeping that type of attitude. And yeah, I think there are probably a lot of factors that play there.
Yeah, but
to be re-injured.
Nobody wants that.
In a meaningless game here at the end of the season.
Yeah, and so we'll have to see what the situation is tomorrow night, because on Saturday he was in his uniform on the bench. He wasn't in street clothes anymore. He was going through, you know, layup lines and pregame shooting and all that stuff. You know, so obviously that's a low impact type workout, and we don't know what exactly that means, but it's a step. It's progress. And so we'll have to see tomorrow against the Suns if he's out there again, if they decide he's cleared and ready to go.
It didn't sound like it to me today. Yeah. Or I think, you know, he would have had to, although
change.
I'm giving up on predicting this because, you know, I don't know. He was able to practice, but he's not medically. He doesn't have the clearance.
Yeah, we're all day to day, Charles.
We're day. So, We shall see. But maybe we will see him out there. You know, if we do, I'd be happy for Grievous because he's obviously worked hard to try to get back and try to put himself in a position to be on the court before the end of the season. He's kind of racing against time, I think, and really working hard to try to do it.
All right. Well, I think that brings us to the end of the things we wanted to discuss today.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. And we'll talk about the end of the season as we get closer here. And then, as you said, we'll be able to kind of recap the season in April and then start looking more toward the draft and the lottery. And
free agency.
Free agency. It's going to be one of those no postseason this year. Last year we had the longer season by a couple weeks and a kind of exciting playoff series with the Bulls, but there won't be any of that. It'll just be heading straight into looking, ways to improve and to get this thing on track for next season. I think there are going to be a lot of people interested that the Bucks can do that and not slide back into kind of a several years of mediocrity or below that.
Yeah, it's a 5-year rebuild, right? So we'll have to see what year three brings next year, and we'll definitely talk a lot about that.
All right, Matt.
So, all right. Well, thank you, everybody, for sticking around for this week's podcast. And, we appreciate you listening, as you have all season. And as always, you can find our latest podcast at jsonline.com/bucks. It'll be in the Bucks blog where you can download it or you can stream it right there. You can also get the latest podcast directly onto your phone or tablet or device using iTunes or Stitcher. And that's the fastest way to get the latest podcast. And we'll be back next week to talk about the homestand in the future and any other news that comes up. Maybe Kirby Vasquez will play. Who knows? So thank you very much, and we'll talk to you next week.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.